Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesztc.org. Now, no one is a stranger to suffering. Some suffer more than others. There's something in kind of pop American Christianity. I think it even finds its way into the more solid confessions of faith that while suffering is certainly part of the Christian life and we ought to expect it, anyone who reads the Bible will draw that conclusion if they read it honestly. You should suffer in silence. Keep it to yourself. It's better to suffer in silence and say nothing, maybe not even to God. And there's some sort of virtue in that. But, of course, the Bible is full of people who don't suffer in silence. Look at the book of Psalms. There is all manner of human suffering, some of it self-imposed, much of it self-imposed. And the psalmist cannot keep quiet about it, especially to God. We even have a category of psalms, psalms of lament, and whole prophets who make careers out of their laments. We're going to be talking about a theology of lament. Dr. Gregory Schultz joins us on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 12th. He's professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and author of the book, The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope, and a recent article for Logia titled Pain, Suffering, and Lament. Dr. Schultz, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Always a privilege.
Give us a kind of a good thumbnail definition of Christian lament.
Thanks. I think, Todd, that the discussion about lament, the understanding of what that means, needs to be fitted in with defining pain and suffering, as I suggested in that Logia title. So if I could say just briefly, I think that pain would be well understood as indications of harm to our bodies that we experience because we are, after all, body and soul creatures. By contrast, suffering is something that is unique to us as human beings. We can worry and wonder and react against the pain that we or the injustices that others are going through. And then lament. Let's consider that lament could be handled either as a casual conversation word or in the sense that you're asking about it as a rather distinct, very rich biblical term. In the casual understanding, I suppose that lament is the shout that things are not the way they should be, which I'd equate with suffering, and it may be spoken out in words, may be uttered, you know, very viscerally, something where it's uninterpreted. However, when we talk about biblical lament, and as you suggested with the Psalms of lament, that is a crying out of our suffering to God Himself. And the critical thing for our pastoral care, for our care to one another as Christians, and for our conversation today is that God actually shapes our lament by means, for instance, of the Psalms of lament that you mentioned from the book of Psalms.
So let's distinguish then between kind of mere complaint, which can just be grousing about one's circumstances, and Christian lament, which is directed toward God. Is that a good distinction to make here?
Do you know, I think that's very much along the right path. What I'd say is that we're probably going to end up spinning our wheels unless we're paying attention to those Psalms of lament to get God to work, not just to define, but to lead us through lament, such as Psalm 22, for instance.
So show us that example, and in many ways, show us how, as you said, God shapes our lament. He just doesn't hear it and respond to it, but he actually shapes it.
Right. So let's recall and actually hear Psalm 22, which is, I would say, the quintessential Psalm of lament. So the opening verses, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. O my God, I cry by day, but thou dost not answer, and by night, but I have no rest. Yet thou art holy, O thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In thee our fathers trusted. They trusted, thou didst deliver them to thee. They cried out and were delivered. In thee they trusted and were not disappointed. I would take it, Todd, probably we're in agreement on this, that not only did Jesus on Calvary's cross pray the opening verses of this psalm, but he almost certainly prayed the entire psalm all the way through. And in the course of this psalm, we have what you identified as that complaint toward God himself. It's fairly long, and in the case of Psalm 22, in words originally used by David and then breathed in and breathed out for us by Jesus, it goes on to talk about the reason for confidence in God. And ultimately, the psalm ends with praise to the Lord in terms of our Jesus' resurrection to come after he had prayed that on the cross. So the suggestion I had offered in the Logia article is that we have to keep an eye on a couple of things. First and foremost would be the inspired and the means of grace text of Psalm 22 itself. And then the second thing is we probably need to appreciate much more deeply what it means to say that we are emotional as well as intellectual and willful beings. So I've suggested that what God is actually doing through his words, the words of Christ in Psalm 22, for example, is he's taking us up into his own suffering and is actually terraforming or cruciforming our own thinking and emotional being in that whole process of praying the Psalm of Lament.
Okay, so are you saying there, Dr. Schultz, that that although the psalm itself is written in the context of David's suffering, particular suffering, we need to understand this first in terms of Christ's suffering, so that David is being brought into, even though the chronology is not the way we would have it go, Christ suffers long after David suffers, but David is by faith being brought into the very sufferings of Christ through this lament. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's sure right. So, you know, as Luther says, the voice that we hear the loudest in these psalms of lament is the voice of Christ himself. I suppose, since we know that all scripture is given by inspiration, we could consider that about 1000 B.C., the Holy Ghost actually had King David write down these very words, all of these particular words in Psalm 22, and then just as God's people were supposed to be praying and lamenting in these words of the Psalm of Lament down through the millennium, finally when you come to the fullness of time in Jesus, Jesus grew up breathing in the words of Psalm 22 as he was growing in grace and knowledge. But then on Calvary's cross, he, expired or respired or breathed out these exact words so that we in turn can breathe them in from Jesus himself. And so Psalm 22 is simultaneously God's means by which he speaks to us, and it's the means by which he takes us up into himself in the very act of lamenting, according to the psalm. So, as I say, he cruciforms us. And yeah, it's primarily Jesus' voice, don't you think?
Yeah. Does this teach us kind of a larger principle about the purpose of God-sent suffering in our lives, that suffering ought to be understood, at least in the broader sense, as salutary, not saving in itself, but salutary and helpful to us spiritually, because it is God's act of cruciforming?
Well, let's see. Because it is God's act of cruciforming, and because that's the way these words are experienced and the way he had them written down, it does that. So I suppose, in other words, I would be inclined, instead of stepping back and having a discussion at arm's length about Psalm 22, to say that we need to be praying this psalm, and in the praying of it, we actually do experience this stuff happening.
How does that connect, Dr. Scholes, to your particular suffering or to another Christian's particular suffering, the circumstances of the immediate circumstances of their lives as they pray Psalm 22?
Well, is it okay first to say how it probably doesn't work, and that is that the psalm itself is not something that works well at all if we're making it one resource among a bunch of others to comfort ourselves or to provide pastoral care or to care for other people who are suffering. So the psalm itself doesn't fit into psychological categories, and I think from philosophy I'd have to say that it doesn't really fit philosophical categories the way we talk about them. It addresses our suffering not as a Gnostic undertaking or a merely intellectual realignment, but it affects us. So the psalm addresses our suffering by taking us up into the way Jesus prayed, and not just validating, but involving us in this. So Jesus prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that means that he doesn't allow us to go all stoic on this, you know, as you suggested in your opening for the question, to kind of just be quiet or manage things or, well, be stoic about it. He says that, you know, we're to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. And in this case, the lamenting is authorized and just as personal as all get out. I think that my example of saying Jesus breathed out these words on Calvary and we breathe them in and breathe them back out to God is maybe a pretty inviting metaphor, but there's nothing metaphorical about what Jesus is really doing in the psalm. These are, first of all, his words, and then they become our words, and through his words in us, he does that comforting. Can I offer you a quick example for that?
Sure.
I actually had the chance to present the article that you know as Pain, Suffering, and Lament in Logia when I was on sabbatical last semester and had the privilege of doing some teaching at the Lutheran Seminary in Pretoria, South Africa. Now, when I was there, I was also invited to do a lecture to the theology faculty at the nearby University of Pretoria. And after talking about Psalm 22 in some detail as a psalm of lament, one of the members of the theology department said to me, he said, well, Greg, actually, I'd have to say, after hearing what you've said, that I'm kind of worried about you and your notion of pastoral care. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, I'm a pastor myself. He's in a different non-Lutheran tradition. And he mentioned that he also supervises quite a number of young pastors regularly. And he said, I will just leave aside the point that I'm not sure that David wrote Psalm 22 or that Jesus prayed that psalm on the cross. But he said, I do teach pastors that in order really to comfort somebody, when you come to the hospital, you have to comfort them in your own words. The only way, he said, you can give authentic, genuine, helpful comfort is not to use somebody else's words, but to use your own. And then he said, I'm concerned about your formalism. And I said back to him, well, you know, thanks, but I'm awfully concerned about you, too. I'm really concerned that what you're suggesting is that we should give our own words and our own paraphrase to people when they're suffering in place of Jesus' word. He had mentioned that Luther was abundantly outspoken in saying that the text of the Bible, like Psalm 22, is always ad extra, you know, outside the person. And he said, that just sounds very cold to me. And I said, well, you've missed the point entirely. It is outside us in the sense that it's actually not something we invented or we evolved or came up with. These are straight from God to David, straight from God on the cross. And I said, my worry is that, you know, you're trying to comfort people with your own well-meant words rather than with the comfort of Christ himself. So the psalm itself is just indispensable, and it's an affective, not just, as I said, a Gnostic or intellectual undertaking.
I want to come back to that on the other side of the break. We're talking about a theology of lament on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 12th. Dr. Gregory Scholes is our guest, professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and author of a recent article for Logia titled Pain, Suffering, and Lament. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. And Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. We made a decision, it was 4 years ago, when we decided to start the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference, that when someone attended this conference, we didn't want them to miss a thing. It's not one of the conferences, and there's nothing wrong with them, but the kind of conference where you go and you have to make a choice between this speaker or that speaker, and you're going to inevitably miss some of the good stuff that that conference will offer you. At the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference, everybody gets the same thing, and they get all of it, and they don't have to miss anything if they're there for those 2 days. Here's an idea about how the conference goes when we kick it off on Friday, June the 10th. We start with a live broadcast of this program, a two-hour broadcast from 3 to 5, just this program right there in Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, a remote broadcast there for you to watch and participate in. We have dinner. We have a couple speakers that evening. We end that first evening with Compline, the prayer at the close of the day. The next morning, we start bright and early with morning prayer, and then we have several speakers, a break, some lunch, and a hymn sing that is a feature of our conference with Pastor Will Whedon that we've moved up to the middle of the day, kind of wake people up after they've had their lunch. Another break, some speakers. Then we've added a feature this year that everybody gets to participate in, and that is near the end of that second day of the conference, we have a Q&A roundtable with all of our speakers there in attendance. Then dinner, and it's all capped off with the divine service there at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. Everybody who attends gets to go to all of that and not miss any of it at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference, June the 10th and the 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. That's just about 15 miles east of St. Louis. You can find out more about the conference, and you can register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Attendance at the conference is limited to 400. Registration is $100. It's the fourth annual Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. We're talking about lament, the theology of lament. Dr. Gregory Schultz is our guest. I wanted to talk in the few minutes left to us here, Dr. Schultz, about that arm's length thing you were talking about, the example you gave before the break of this pastor who wanted to use his own words. Sounds like what you're saying here is in using Christ's words, which are outside of us, we actually offer better pastoral care to those who suffer, for Christ brings them into his suffering and enters into their suffering. It's not just my ideas from the outside. Is that what you're talking about?
It sure is. So there really is, I would say, based on my experience and our shared theology, there's nowhere else to go for this. So if we're not going to be bringing Christ himself, we don't have any actual comfort to offer people who are suffering. The lament that's provided in the Psalms of Lament is the voice of Jesus, and if we don't want to listen to him, if we don't want to go to him, if we don't want to bring him to other people, we should really drop the pretense of claiming that we're doing pastoral care. Maybe we're being nice people. Maybe we're somehow witnessing by being there. But it's not the kind of Christian care that the Lord has given us to bring to other people.
And talk briefly with only a minute here about how the person who is listening to us right now, who feels that lament welling up within them, where do they turn in Holy Scripture to engage in that Christian lament?
What a fine question. So for our listeners who are wondering about that, who are suffering and asking, the psalm that we've been looking at during our brief time together is Psalm 22. I think that there is just no substitute for the person reading or asking somebody else to read with or for her, the person reading Psalm 22. Along with Psalm 22, there are a number of other psalms that would count as psalms of lament, but for the short answer, that's the place to go. And it's just about impossible to miss the fact that that is Jesus' prayer, prayed first of all when he was suffering in our place, and then secondly, it's the prayer that he's authorized and handed to us to become our own prayer to him, to be shaped by him during our times of lament, too.
Dr. Gregory Schultz is professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He is author of the book, The Problem of Suffering, A Father's Hope, and a recent article for Logia entitled Pain, Suffering, and Lament. You can purchase his book by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Schultz, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to get our update on the November elections with journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary with Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Jesus gives us the best possible way to bring our lament before him. He suffers in our place, and then as we are brought into his sufferings, he speaks those words to us that we may speak back to him. He promises to answer, and we know that he understands, for we are brought into his suffering for us. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Divine Service is where Christians gather around word and sacrament. We join together to receive God's gifts in the liturgy. But do you know the meaning behind what we do? There's a book called Ceremony and Celebration that explains Lutheran liturgical worship. Find out more and read book excerpts online at emmanuelpress.us. E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us. You'll find answers to your liturgical questions in Ceremony and Celebration, emmanuelpress.us.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.